Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, where I have the great good fortune to present you with compelling and insightful interviews with business experts across the spectrum, from the virtual assistants industry to famous authors and speakers. And today I am welcoming back to the show one of my very favorite people in the whole world, and I'm gushing, Larry Winget. Larry is known as the pit bull of personal responsibility and is a five-time New York Times, Wall Street Journal best-selling author of Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life. You're Broke Because You Want to Be. It's called Work for a Reason. People Are Idiots and I Can Prove It. And Your Kids Are Your Own Fault. He is a member of the International Speaker Hall of Fame and has spoken to nearly 400 of the Fortune 500. Wow. He has starred in his own television series on A&E, one of my favorites, by the way, been featured in two CNBC specials of The Millionaire Inside, as well as two PBS specials, and has appeared in national television commercials. Larry is a regular contributor on many television news shows on the topics of money, personal success, parenting, and business, and I'm happy to say that he visits me on your Partner in Success Radio pretty often as well. Larry, good morning. Thank you for coming back.
Oh, good morning. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Did I gush? Tell me.
Yeah, a little bit, but I appreciate that. Not a lot of people gush over me, so it's okay to do that.
Okay, good. Well, you know, we can start, we can begin as you know, proceed as we've started, I guess. We have a lot to talk about, actually. I have actually a ton of questions for you, and one of the things that I really, really, really want to talk about, and we'll get to it a little bit later in the show, is your new project called A Year of Success.
Okay.
And I have tons of questions. Why, how, when,
right.
Mostly why and how. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. But right now, tell people who you are if they don't already know who you are, which I find hard to believe. But tell people who you are and where they can find you on the internet, and then we'll get started.
Oh, Denise, there's a lot of people who don't know who I am. I will say this. When they see me, they recognize who they think I might be, though. I'm kind of easy to spot in a crowd simply because I'm pretty well branded in terms of my appearance. And so I have a lot of audiences who don't have a clue who I am by name, but then they see me and go, oh, yeah, he's that guy. So when your audience takes a look at me and sees my picture or goes to my website at LarryWinget.com, they'll probably say, oh, yeah, he's that guy. Mm-hmm. He's the bald guy with the earrings and too much jewelry and obnoxious cowboy shirts and cowboy boots and all that. So that's who I am.
Right. Well, I am so glad to have you back. I love to chat with you. One of the things that we need to talk about, or I feel that we need to talk about these days, is money management. Rich people manage their money well. Poor people do a slap-up job of mismanaging their money. And from there, I would like to go into investing in your own self, which in these days, in this economy, I think it's a little hard for people to make that thought process. What do you mean invest in myself? What the heck are you talking about? So what do you think about
it? We can take it any direction you'd like to go on that money stuff.
All right.
You know, it's really not that tough. People who don't have money, they just need to realize, as the people who do have money in the world recognize, there are only two ways in the world to have more money than you have right now. You have to spend less or you have to earn more. And usually it's the combination of the two that makes the difference. You have to both spend less and earn more in order to really start getting ahead. So when people look at their lives, they go, well, I don't really see a way to earn more. And that's a fair response because maybe they're limited in terms of time or they already have two or three jobs or whatever, so they can't really figure out a way to earn more. Okay, I'll buy it. Stop right there. So what could you do? Well, you could spend less. You could adjust your lifestyle, because at some point you have to get your lifestyle down to the point that you can easily afford it, and make sure that you're spending less money than you really earn. And since 40% of our society spends more money than they earn, I always say that's the best place to start. Figure out where you are financially and what you can start cutting back on to make sure you have more surplus income to invest and save.
Right. Well, and I know that you're talking about it, but you also do it, because in one of your blogs some months ago, I think it was the first of the year, you talked about the things that you were doing to conserve your wealth. So,
oh, sure.
You're not just telling people to
nobody's
do it.
Nobody's immune to any
it.
Of this stuff. It doesn't matter how rich you are. Nobody's immune to what's going on in the economy right now. It's certainly affected me. It's affected every rich guy I know. And I think that's one of the misconceptions of the left really loves to call us the 1%ers and them the 99%ers mm-hmm. and all that, so they can create some sort of class warfare in there. But everybody has been affected by the recession. Everybody is affected every single way by the fact that there's just not as much business. The economy is not in the shape it was. Our dollars are worth less than they used to be. So that affects everybody. And so I don't know anybody who's really immune to this whole thing. Everybody I know is looking at their expenses and looking at how they spend their money to make sure they're getting the most value. And they're not spending free and easy like they used to in the old days 5 years ago.
No, that's absolutely true. I walked into Macy's not too long ago, and if you know anything about me, I hate to shop. Hate it. I'd rather get run over by a slow-moving beer truck than go shopping. But Mother's Day is right around the corner, and my mother loves Dooney and Burke purses. So I walked into Macy's. I have to tell you, I was alone.
Yeah.
It really surprised me. I had the store to myself. I got great customer service, but I was pretty much alone in there, and it surprised me. Now, I am not a mall rat, so I don't know how busy they're supposed to be, but I remember asking the girls who were waiting on me, I said, is this slow? She said, oh, my God, you have no idea. So, yeah, it's out there, and it's small things like that that make you go, where can I kind of nip and tuck? Where can I, you know, not spend money? It's not just the lattes. It's a lot of different things. And that leads me where I really wanted to go, which is investing in yourself. And I think that is so, so important.
You know, many, many years ago, my story is I sort of grew up broke and figured out how to get rich, and then went to work one day, and the company that my wife and I owned, was ruled they could no longer do business in the state of Oklahoma doing what we were doing by the Corporation Commission, and they didn't grandfather us in. We were in the telecommunications business, and what we were doing was a thing called shared tenant services, which is pretty common now, but wasn't very common 25 years ago. And so they ruled against us, so we lost our company in a matter of basically a day. And lost everything we had. And so, you know, and went bankrupt in the process. So I grew up broke, got rich, went bankrupt, got rich again. So I've been where most people are, regardless of how broke they want to claim they are. I've been there. So in that process, my wife and I were, really struggling. And I was doing anything. I'd mow my neighbor's yard if that's what it took. I wasn't above whatever it took in order to make a living to provide for my family. However, in that process, my wife and I agreed that the one thing that we would do was continue to invest in ourselves, so we'd buy books. Mm-hmm. And that was back before all the audio learning was really available like it later became. It was books, and we both loved to read, so we agreed that we would never shortcut on our own investment in our own education and in our knowledge. So we kept reading books. And consequently, I developed that habit of, in the last 20 years now, I've read over 4,000 books on success and business and health and wealth and sales and customer service, you name it. I've read books about it, books that cover thousands of years of information. Now, since the average person in America never reads a nonfiction book after high school, you can see that if I didn't do anything else in the world but just read the books, I'm way ahead of those people, mm-hmm. simply because I have a knowledge base they are never going to have. So when people say, I don't have any opportunities, well, let's just look at it real clearly. You're stupid and other people know more than you do, so their opportunities are based on the fact they know more. They have a larger knowledge base. And if I'm an employer, if I'm just, let's just say I am the universe rewarding people who put more out there, the universe, your employer, your friends, everybody is going to reward the person that knows the most. You know, it's an old Jim Rohn line, if you knew better, you would do better. So go mm-hmm. know better, so, which means
right.
pick up a book and read it.
I agree with you. And I have about 3,000 books in my library. And now, of course, my audiobook library is really growing as well. And now I have, in fact, I got your book the other day, autographed book, People Are Idiots and I Can Prove It. I now have a growing section of autographed books. You know, from my clients.
That's always cool. I'm very fortunate. I have a lot of good friends that send me their books, and I like yep. my little section of autographed copies.
Me too, and that's the section. I actually have a sign on it, don't ask to borrow. Don't. Don't. No,
if you
cannot
have to put a sign up in your house for people who come in saying, don't ask to borrow, you got too many friends coming over.
I've got too many books is what I've got. But fortunately, my friends are like, ooh, what are you reading? What's no, you can borrow this one. You cannot have that one. So, but I have this great section, and you're in it. So I'm so happy about that. But I agree with you. Reading is so, so important. Larry, I have to share this with you. I get resumes all of the time, people wanting to either be a virtual assistant, and they're applying for it as if it were a job, and of course it's not, or you know, just basically wanting, they're sending me these resumes, and I have been getting them recently in text speak. I'm not kidding. Text speak,
yeah.
Resumes. It's like, are you really that ignorant? Are they really? I mean, are they?
Yeah, they really
or
are.
Or is it a joke? It's not a joke. Please tell me.
No, they really are that ignorant. I'm going to give a commencement address this next week on live television to graduating college students, and I'm supposed to be telling them what it really takes to be successful in the real world. And I just think that we've done our students, our young people. It makes you sound old when you call other people young people. But we've just done them such a disservice. You know, you get a resume that's done in text speak, and I think you're obligated to say, you're an idiot. This is not a resume.
I kind of did. I said that.
And that's appropriate for you to respond in that way.
Yeah.
I think we all need to speak up and tell folks, you know, this won't fly and your degree doesn't mean a darn thing, which is the opening line of my commencement address. Congratulations. You don't have anything worth anything.
Oh, my God. And you're doing this on Fox and Friends?
Yes.
I never watched that program, but I will be that too. Tell me, when is it?
Well, we're cutting it Tuesday morning, and they'll air it a few times. So
I will be watching that with a cup of coffee.
There you go. It'll scare people a little bit, but I think they do need to hear the real truth of what it and tell them what it really takes to be successful in the real world, and it's not a degree, I'll tell you that. There are people who have degrees who are broke and out of work, and there are people without degrees who are very successful, have great jobs, and have a lot of money. The mm-hmm. difference between those two people is not the degree.
What's the difference?
It's the willingness to do whatever it takes in order to get what they want. It's that willingness in there that really counts. And most people are not willing to do whatever it takes. They also don't understand the importance of work. Hard work and excellence can never be beat.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things are what are really recognized and valued in the real world, not what's written on a sheet of paper. It's whether you're willing to work and be worth more than you cost. And it's because I don't think that people really understand what businesses do and what they're there to do and what the purpose of any business is. you know, sadly, people think that businesses are there to serve them, the employees, and that's not true. Businesses exist for one reason and one reason only, and that's to be profitable, period.
Right.
And if your mind is about them doing some grandiose, wonderful thing, you're crazy. Businesses don't care who you are. They don't care about your degree. They don't care about your health, wealth, safety, or welfare. Mm-hmm. And they're not supposed to. You're supposed to care about that. And so businesses exist to be profitable. And your job as an employee is to help them be profitable and establish your value for them doing that. Now, if you do that and they recognize that, you're probably going to end up with a great career there and very successful and make good money and have job security. If you don't do that, you're probably going to get passed over and they'll find someone who will, because it's about making your company as profitable as they can be to assure the fact they're going to be around.
Right. I couldn't agree more. And I have heard of people, I know of people who said, oh, I couldn't take the job, the benefits sucked. What? Really? I'm
so they stay unemployed and don't have any job and don't have any money and stay on the government dole.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. One thing that, and I know you've seen this too, is that women are dropping out of the workforce quite a bit too. You know, the unemployment numbers for women are very poor. However, I look at that, and I'm pretty sure you do as well, as kind of a good thing for women or for men. You know, people who have any kind of entrepreneur mindset or that spark of, I can do this, I can do whatever it takes, I will mow the grass, I will dig ditches, whatever it takes, it's not permanent, this is just today, tomorrow's going to be better. I think that sometimes that little shakeup brings entrepreneurship to the forefront.
Well, I absolutely believe that entrepreneurship will be the solution to our economic problem. That and getting government spending in control. But on a personal level, when entrepreneurs really start kicking in and figuring out what they could do on their own, that's when we'll start to see a real change. Now, that would happen much quicker if they didn't have this 99-week backup to fall back on. I guarantee you, if we cut the 99-week unemployment benefits to 6-week unemployment benefits, people would figure out something to do to make money. Mm-hmm. But as long as someone is there with a check, and that's your safety net, there's no incentive for you to really do anything. And so we've got to start forcing people to become more entrepreneurial by forcing them off the government dole so they'll have to do whatever it takes on their own to be successful and make ends meet.
Absolutely. I genuinely do not understand how people can go through college, how they can go through high school, go through college, and come out at the other end and say, well, the government can pay for everything. Where in the world do they think that money comes from? How do they not know?
Well, I have grown very successful friends who don't seem to understand that, too.
Really?
And, you know, they love to argue with me about all the government programs that we should have and how we should take care of people. And I finally say, listen, you can take care of anybody you want to. I don't care. We can give everything away to everybody. I'm fine with that. You just tell me how we're going to pay for it. And when you figure out how to pay for everything you want, you can have everything you want. But as long as you don't have the money to pay for it, you don't get to do it.
That's exactly right.
And they said, you know, they say to me, Larry, you don't care anything about taking care of people. You're absolutely right. I don't care anything about taking care of people. I care about teaching people to take care of themselves.
And
there's
this is
a big difference in thinking when it comes there.
Big, big, big difference. Personal responsibility is a huge thing with me. If I make a mistake, I'm the first one to stick my hand in the air and go, I'm sorry. I hope I won't do it again. I may, but I hope I won't. But you know,
yeah, it's like those famous words that I've tried to make famous from my son. Admit it, fix it, and move on. It's the key.
There you go.
And you mess up, admit it, fix it, and move on.
That's right. And just, you know, try not to do it again. If you do it again, oh, well, you know, maybe you're
admit it, fix it, and move on again.
That's right. That's right. But so many people these days just don't want to take care of themselves, and I frankly don't understand that. To me, if you want to talk about God-given rights, personal responsibility is number one for me.
Well, I've built a whole career and written 5 bestsellers on that one note right there, personal responsibility. And I just take that one idea and drive it across the ideas of your finances, your personal success, your business success, your ability to parent well, you name it. That's it with me. I'm a one-note wonder. Personal responsibility is everything.
And that's absolutely right. I don't understand a mindset that does not, well, we're all very different, but gee whiz, it seems like there's more of them than there are of us. But here's what keeps me going every day. I don't believe my own eyes, so I'm just going to go ahead and go with it. I don't believe the evidence in front of me. I'm going to be hopeful and say that, you know what, there's more of us than there is of them, and we're going to make it happen.
Then you're more optimistic than I am.
I was afraid you were going to say that out loud.
Statistically, right now, there's more of them than there are us.
I know.
And they want us to take care of them.
They do, and I don't want to. You know, charity is fine and dandy. I'm all for charity, but I think it should be voluntary. And, you know, once in a while, I don't want to give you, I'll give you a hand up. I'm not going to give you my whole damn arm. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but anyway, I want to talk too about investing in yourself, because this has been kind of a big thing with me this week in particular. In my industry, both of my industries, I have to stay on the cutting edge. I have to. It's just, I want to, because I'm a techno kind of a person. I mean, I live, breathe, eat websites and technology, but I've noticed in the last, I'm going to say 6 months, give myself a little breathing room, I've really kind of fallen behind the curve because I've been so busy in, you know, taking care of my clients and building websites. That's number one, a good thing. Number two, not a good thing, because I fell a little bit behind. So I recognized that at some point, time to invest. So I invested in your program, A Year of Success. Love it, love it, love it. We're definitely going to talk about that. I also spent $1,000 yesterday with Brendan Bouchard. I mean, I shuddered before I hit send, but, you know, you do what you have to do. And there was another program that I invested. So all told this week, I've spent about $2,000.
Yeah.
I'm still walking around. My head is wobbling on my shoulders going, oh, my God. But you have to invest. And like you said about the books, I will give up meals before I'll give up buying a book. That's just all there is to it.
Well, if people would just start to realize that if someone's taking a lifetime to learn how to be truly successful and they can condense that lifetime of success down into 200 pages, wouldn't you better off if you read those 200 pages and took advantage of their lifetime worth of experience? Of course you would.
Yes.
But most people just won't. I mean, the statistics on reading and education past the lousy high school education they got is just, and then the lousy college education they got is just abysmal. People just will not invest in further education down the road. They just won't do it.
Do they just not see the need for it? I mean, has our education become so poor that people don't understand the need to continue? Like, I'll be 90 years old, and I will still be reading, writing, trying to figure out how to dominate the world the next day.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of we've lost that. We sure have. And I think it's sad that we've gotten to that point, but we are at that point. But those numbers have been that abysmal for a good long while.
Larry?
Since about the 60s, the reading numbers have just gone so far down. You know, when you realize the true statistics that the average American is never going to read a book after high school, you just go, seriously, are you kidding me? And people say, well, what about all the bookstores? Well, the bookstores are there primarily for people to get a cup of coffee these days. And they use them more like libraries, because libraries are going out of business because there's no more government funding to keep them open or private contributions to keep them open. So the bookstores are there for coffee and for people to be able to read books like mine for free, which ticks me off.
I know. Barnes & Noble, you can sit there with a cup of coffee and
And read somebody's book for free. Somebody said, Larry, I just read your book. And I said, well, thank you for buying it. And they said, no, I just went to Barnes & Noble, bought a cup of coffee, and sat and read your book. So good. Now there's a used dog-eared book on the shelf that nobody will buy. I appreciate that.
Right. Yeah, it's
so, and besides that, I don't think you get the same, and people say, oh, they're the same words, and I read the same book, whether I bought it or not. I don't buy that. I believe when you spend the money and invest, that you absolutely get more out of the book than if you had gone in and somebody gave it to you. That's why I say never give anybody a book. Just don't do that. Make them buy their own. And never loan your books. Make them buy their own. They're not going to get anything out of it otherwise. There has to be an investment.
There does have to be an investment. And you have to read it again and again. There is not a book in my library that I haven't read multiple times.
Yeah.
And you know what? I pick up something new every single time. Because whatever it is that my mood might be or my need might be, I will find it in that book.
Well, yeah, and you read the book with jaded eyes based on where you are in your life and what your needs are at that particular time. And as your life changes, you'll look for different things and find different answers. I tell everybody to read books not for content but for intent. And I believe everybody who writes a book, I have an intention when I write a book. And that intention is usually very, very simple. My intention in my case is just take personal responsibility for where you are in whatever I'm writing about. But when you read a book, what is the intention? What is this author trying to tell me? If you read the book and that's all you walk away with, then that was a good investment of your time because you get it. I also tell people to read just looking for their one lesson, just one lesson. And when you read the book, take a pen and go to that last page, and then there are lots of blank pages at the end of every book, and write down the date and say, this was my lesson. I read this whole book, and I got one lesson. This is it. And people say, well, I got lots of lessons. Well, then you work too hard. Look for one lesson, and one lesson that you're willing to take action on. Just because you learned a lot in the book, that doesn't mean anything. Tell me the one thing that you learned that you're willing to take action on, because that's the lesson that counts. And write that down in the back of the book. Now, a couple of years later, when you reread the book, you'll have a different lesson, but it will also be interesting for you to go back and see what you learned and how you did on that first lesson.
Yeah, and did you take action?
Mm-hmm.
That's the critical
exactly.
key. Just stop what you're doing and go do something about it.
Yeah, too many people are looking for 100 good ideas before they get started. You just need one good idea that you're willing to get started on right now. There will be plenty of time for other good ideas down the road, but take one good idea and start right this minute.
Right. And that leads me into a year of success, because I looked at this thing and went, I have to tell you, my jaw dropped, and that doesn't happen very often because I'm not really, as much as I gush over you because I love you to death, I really am not that easily impressed, I have to say. And I looked at a year of success. You had sent me a note and said to me, take a look at this. I think your audience might appreciate it. And I really appreciated you thinking of me. And the first thing that came to my mind, Larry, was, my God, how do these people find time to do this? The second thing that came, because let's face it, it's you, it's Bob Berg, it's Sally Hogshead, it's Mark Sanborn. You all are very, very high-end speakers and authors. You're extremely busy. You're very well known in your own industry.
Yeah, that was
industries.
The biggest challenge, finding a time that we could all sit down for 2 days and do this program.
Exactly. So that was my first question. My second question was, why did you do this? Which I answered on my own, but I would love to hear your answer to see if it meshes with mine.
Well, when I put together the program, this was my baby. I came up with this concept. It's because I had been approached by all the big internet marketers saying, Larry, with your fan base, you could really take advantage of that and make tons of money. And I started and look at what I've done. And I have a big problem with what those guys do. I have to admit, I think that they overpromise, underdeliver, and they just flat out charge too much money for it. And most of the people charge $1,000 to $10,000 for their information, and I don't think that's necessary, and I think they're taking advantage of people, especially in a recessionary time. So when I decided to put together a program, I wanted to design a program that was very affordable. My program's $147. Nobody's going to get hurt at $147. It's $2.82 a week. If you can't do that, then you're too broke to pay attention anyway, so nothing anybody says is going to make any difference. So I want to design a program that was very affordable. I wanted it to be able to reach everybody, so no one was really excluded because of the size of the investment. Next, I wanted, just because of who I am, it had to be a program that I was proud of and that I could trust every word that came out of the other people's mouths. My reputation is on the line, and I wanted to be able to say, regardless of what these people say, I trust them. It's going to be high-quality, high-value information. You couldn't do better than by going with Sally Hogshead, Bob Berg, and Mark Sanborn. They are truly three of the other world's leading success experts in their area. Well-respected, completely trustworthy, people of honesty and integrity, and that meant everything to me. They have excellent reputation, so I would only associate with those kind of people. So I brought in those people. And then when we designed the program, we wanted it to be short, simple lessons, three-minute video lessons, one a week, delivered in your mailbox by one of the four of us. Each one of us took 13 weeks. So you get a 3 to 4 minute video lesson, and then you get an action plan, which to me is everything. It's what I just said. Mm-hmm. You need an action plan. So we give you two steps that you can go away that week. Some of them are go away and rethink how you do this. Some of them, especially in my case, are get out a sheet of paper and work on this. And I'm very tactics, planning, write things down kind of guy, so my action plans lean that direction more and more than anyone else's. But you get two action plans that have come with each one of the lessons, and we cover everything. Everything about personal success, there's a little bit of business success in there. Of course, I would cover money and parenting because those are the two of the areas that I'm also known for. So you get this broad spectrum of success ideas from four of the world's leading success experts for very little money. It's a high-quality program. It looks good. It just has a classy feel about it. I hope you agree with that as a technical and web kind of person. It's just it's a good-looking program. And it delivers, which is the main thing. It delivers.
It does, and I can say that because one of the very first things I did, because like you, I am not going to go out and promote something. I don't know what the heck it is. I just will not. And, you know, I'm not real big on affiliate sales because I have to know, I have to look at it, feel it, touch it, taste it. I have to know what's going on.
I agree with you.
And I did, and the very first thing I did was, you know, I went ahead and signed up to become, I think I was probably one of your first 10 members. No, I was 20. I was number 20. And here's the thing. I mean, I log in and I posted this on my Facebook page the other day. My new thing is every morning I log in. Now, there's only four lessons in there right now because this is a fairly new program. But I listen every day, and every day I go through the four. I go through year first. Then it was Sally, I think. Then no, it was Mark. Mark was next.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sally and Bob Berg was week number four. And I listen every day. And I pick up
and next
something
week you'll get
new.
Me again because we alternate.
Exactly.
And the nice thing is you do get a new lesson every week, but you get to go back and review all the lessons for as long as they're there.
That's exactly right. And I posted that on my Facebook page. I said, you know, here's the thing. Right now I'm listening to the four because they're there. And as time goes on, I will choose the one that most closely is designed to meet my need or my desire that day. Or I may listen to several. But I have to say, Bob Berg, you know, he is such a self-deprecating kind of guy. I mean, I said, this is such a great idea. I don't know who thought of this. And he said, it was Wingate. But I'm just, I was so excited to be, you know, invited along for the ride. I thought that was very sweet of him.
Bob is a very nice guy. He's one of the few people in the world, I think, has figured out a way to monetize nice. He is the nicest guy.
He is.
And that's really what he teaches people, how to never be a pushover, for sure. That's not what he's about at all. He's a tough guy and a tough businessman. But he does teach you how to be nice in certain situations, which is a challenge for me, I'll admit.
Me too. I'm trying to learn from Bob because, you know, like you, I tend to just kind of open up my mouth and stuff comes out. So
yeah.
I don't have much,
I don't have much of
filters.
A filter there.
No.
So,
neither.
You know, I'm sort of the hard ass of the bunch. And
me
Bob's
too.
The nice, nice guy of the bunch,
yes.
And he has such solid information. Mark is truly one of the top leadership speakers in the world today and has written several bestsellers. And Sally will teach you how to fascinate people in a very short period of time, which is her area of expertise, all about fascination. And when you combine the four of us, I think you're going to be amazed at, you know, and I know where the problem is. It's just too cheap that people might not respect it because it's too cheap. But the point is that was it's designed that way, literally designed to be so cheap you can go, how can I not do this? And so that was part of the way we do it. You know, I look at the guys, as I said, the big guys who do this, and when I told one of the very biggest internet marketing gurus, everybody would know his name if I just mentioned it, and I said it was $147. He said, $147 a week? Wingate, that's too cheap. You're leaving money on the table. And I said, no, it's just $147.
Right.
And he said, you're giving them all that for $147. And he said, that needs to be per week, at the very least per month. And I said, I couldn't sleep at night. I just couldn't do it. $147, they can afford that. I make a little money on the thing. You know, I'm a businessman. I'm out to be profitable. Mm-hmm. And it's a good program. And that's one of the things I'm most proud about. It's a high-quality program that really does teach real-world application kind of stuff that people can do. And we don't promise you you're going to make seven-figure income as a result of listening to the program. In fact, we don't promise you anything except that if you'll take each one of the lessons and do it, you'll have a better year next year than you did this year. That's why it's just called a year of success. We'll give you a better year next year than you had this year if you do, heavy on the do, what we suggest. So I appreciate you becoming an affiliate and offering
absolutely.
It. It's getting great reviews from people. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I'm getting ready to write a review on it too because, like I said, you know, I know you, I know Bob. I have to know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to just get out there and go, hey, you know, go look at this. This is really cool. So I waited till the fourth week, and let me tell you what I'm learning from it: success principles. That's what I'm getting. And I think that was your whole goal, wasn't it?
It really was to teach principles. My real mentor in this industry was Jim Rohn. And Rohn always spoke on principles. And he made it real clear that that's what he did. He didn't give you tactics. He gave you principles because principles work in every situation, regardless of what you're in, whether it be a business situation, a parenting situation, a leadership situation. Principles can always be counted on. And I remember the very first time I heard him say that, and that was over 20 years ago. And when I started my career, I made the commitment I would always speak about principles, so you could apply them all the time. And that's what this program is about. They are principles that you can say, oh, in this situation, and maybe it's not about leadership, but I can use that principle that Mark was talking about or the one that Sally was talking about, and I can make it apply over here because it does have universal application.
Right. Well, I looked at the website, and, you know, I logged in, and I love the thing. I like the color. I'm not a purple fan, I have to tell you, but I kind of like this one.
Oh, purple's my favorite color. So.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Never. When I was in high school, purple was the color for me, and I don't know why, but I outgrew it somewhere along the line. But I have been listening to these things, and I've been looking at everything you guys are doing. And one of the questions that I came up with was, again, why, which you've answered. But here's the thing, and I think that maybe our audience may be kind of going, these are some very, very, very successful people. Why would they want to help me? I know it's a stupid question, but I also know it's out there.
Well, first of all, you would get a different answer from each one of us. You know, I say I have the information. I'm obligated to tell the information. So that, you know, it's a sense of obligation that when you have the information, you're sort of obligated to share it. And so that certainly comes into play. It's also a different way to reach, just from a business and marketing standpoint, this is a different way to reach a different kind of audience. There are going to be people, as we just talked about, who are never going to read a book. They're just not going to. I don't care. You could buy it for them, beat them over the head with it, and spoon feed it to them. They're not going to do it. They're book adverse. They're just not going to do it. So you have to offer it in a different medium. A lot of people today learn differently than they used to. It's just the way society has taken us. And so you offer it in an MP3 format, or you offer it in a video format, which is most popular these days, so people can see it. Look at the popularity of YouTube. and they get to actually see you do the lesson. And so there's that part of it. So we did it, one, because it's a different way to reach a new market for us with information that we've been doing for a good long while that, you know, frankly, you can't reach everybody with every medium. So that's one of the reasons. Secondly, this is a good business model. And people need to realize
income.
That. It's a good way to
model.
Have passive income. And when you're like the four of us who have spent 20 years on the road, you know, 200, 250 days a year getting beat up on airplanes and all that sort of stuff, you start to say, what can I do to get my information out there that would be a very reasonable investment for people, and I don't have to get on an airplane to deliver it? Well, this makes a lot of sense. So
right, and here's the thing. You don't do a lot of public speaking. You normally speak to corporate.
Everything I do is private corporate stuff.
Right. So you're really not available unless somebody buys your book.
Yep.
So this makes
so nobody's going to be able to come to a big public seminar and see me. I might do two a year, maybe.
Right.
I'll do two this year. So that's it. But,
so this makes you available to a far wider reaching audience.
Yeah, so they get to actually see me deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing that we haven't talked about that's interesting about this program is the diversity of style. I know that we thought long and hard, do we really want to start the whole series off with me, because I understand I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
Oh,
especially
really?
When the first lesson is you're being lied to.
I looked at the title and I rolled. I did, because I know you. And I started laughing. I went, oh my God, I can't. I literally paused it. I went out and I put on a cup of coffee, my little Gaino coffee. And I came back with my coffee and a bottle of water and a smirk on my face because I knew.
Yeah, there you go. So,
and I enjoyed it.
So you get this mix that philosophically, Bob Berg and I are 100% in alignment. When it comes to style and delivery, we're 180 degrees apart. So I think the diversification of styles and so forth really makes the program kind of interesting and fascinating, but you're still getting the same core message from all of us, the basic same core message delivered in four unique styles with certainly a different set of words. But at the end of the program, you're going to say, this is about being a good person, doing what you do really well, and there are some solid tactics in here that may offer you something you hadn't thought about.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. You're talking about video. I hate video. I do. I am not somebody who learns by, you know, I'm not visually stimulated. I learn by listening, I learn by reading, and frankly, I learn by breaking it and then going in and fixing it. These are about the only videos I'm willing to watch, and that's a testament to how fascinating I find this entire group.
Well, I appreciate that.
Books.
And they're short. You know, even if you don't learn well through video, they're 3 minutes. You can't sit through 3 minutes.
That's it. They're easily digestible. They're to the point. I mean, I actually do sit and watch them. Anybody who knows me will tell you I don't watch videos. I would rather be hit by a beer truck. But I really enjoy these. I was watching Bob Berg yesterday. You're right. He's such a nice guy, and he smiles. And he's so sweet. And then I was watching you going, wow, totally different delivery style, totally different. But I took something from each of them. And Sally was fascinating. Oh, my gosh.
And that's what she does. She teaches how to be fascinating.
Fascinating. So I'm really, really excited about this whole program, largely because you're able to reach an audience that seriously never would have access to you, and partly because you're now able to speak to people who are looking for passive income. We all kind of want that as entrepreneurs. We want to, you know, build our reputation, build our brand, build our products, but we also want that passive income. And you have managed to do that, and I think that's brilliant.
Well, the thing I like about that part of this program is that if, you know, if somebody decides to become an affiliate, it is a nice way to earn a little passive income. And the thing about this program is you don't have to have massive lists to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, sadly, a lot of these guys, I mean, they have millions of people on their list, but you don't have to for this one to really work for you. You can have a couple of hundred people and go, I did okay. And I think that's a nice part of the program that's sort of a benefit for the people that do want to become an affiliate. And, you know, we didn't look at this as this is our only way to ever make any money. This was just an additional revenue stream. And one of the things I decided this year, and you're right, I did write a blog about it, about things I'm doing different personally and professionally as the years go on. And I think what we have to do is all of us have to look for different revenue streams and to be able to capitalize on our affiliations with people we trust and move forward by taking advantage of their base. And, you know, that's just good networking that every small business person should be taking advantage of. Finding people you trust, believe in their product and service, and they believe in yours, and you figure out a way to do business together so both of your fan bases can benefit. Just makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing, and you're right, it's too cheap. And I kind of agree with the big marketers who said, oh, man, Larry, because I looked at it and went, really?
Yep.
And I knew what you guys were bringing to the table because I've read your books, I've read Bob's books, and you know, Sally was new to me. I have to say I had not heard of her, and I was, again, fascinated. But I looked at that and went, I think I know what they're doing, but oh my. Yeah, it's they may be leaving money on the table, but I
get
it.
Yeah, we are leaving money on the table, and we know that.
You are,
and we would probably do better if we'd have set it instead of $147 at $497. But, you know, there was two schools of thought on it. Go real high and get people, or you can go so low that people go, I can't afford not to take advantage of this. And that's
right.
The direction that we decided to head. We wanted to beat Walmart on this, that we could reach massive quantities of people. Plus, you have to realize this isn't a program that will be bought internationally. And
exactly.
So you're dealing with lots of different people from different cultures, and value is not always established just by what the American market would take, because we've got as many foreign subscribers right now as we do subscribers in the U.S.
Oh, good point. I hadn't even thought of that.
See,
my
books have been translated into 20 languages, and so
I know. And
most people in other countries do speak and understand English. So while they might read my books in their own language, they can still listen to what I have to say, me speaking English, and it still plays very, very well for them. So I have a big fan base in other countries, as do the other three. So it's an international program.
You know, I can't believe that. Seriously, Larry, that went right over my head, and shame on me, because I remember being on Facebook and you were talking about, one of your books that had been translated into French, and I told you which one it was. Turned out it was, but I can't believe that. I just learned something.
Yeah, like I'm going to Australia next Saturday for 2 weeks. I'm doing a tour of Australia. all over the country there, and the product we will be offering to people is a year of success. One, because you can't ship books that far and make them pay. I mean, it costs me more just to ship a book than I can afford to sell the book for because shipping rates are so high. So if you have an online product that is an affordable product for people to buy, then that's a whole other market for this program, and that's one of the reasons we put it together. Plus, you know, my books have been bestsellers in Australia. So a product like this makes perfect sense for a foreign market.
It does, and I love that you put this together, that you're reaching a much broader audience than you would with, you know, just your books or your speaking engagements. Your speaking engagements they're just not available to most of us. They're just not. Your books certainly are, but this product, because you're leveraging, you know, Bob and Sally and Mark, I think it's pretty darn smart.
Well, thank you. I'll have another program out that'll be sort of a follow-up to this program by the end of the year called A Year of Business Success. And I'll bring in three other experts. And the cost will be much higher, if that'll make you happy. But it's specifically targeted towards small business. And the lessons will be expanded some, because these are going to be more business-focused lessons, but it'll be the same format with a business message and with four of the world's leading business experts And we'll offer along with that some podcasts and some seminars and so forth along the way as well.
Right.
So I can take this format into a lot of different directions, and you'll see that.
Well, I wasn't unhappy with the price because I had to pay for it. So I was happy.
You seem like you were complaining. We were just too cheap.
No.
See, if you'd like to just send us more money, we'll be happy to take your money.
No. It's kind of like taxes. No, it's not going to happen. But you know, I looked at that and went, oh, my gosh. Because like you, I've looked at all of the other business models. I've looked at all the big marketers. And I went, oh, what are they doing? And then I went,
I don't know how they do it. And yet they make millions and millions of dollars
doing that.
And it just bothers me. I have to admit, it bothers me. Not the fact that they're making money, but I think that people get taken advantage of with being overpromised.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I've avoided a lot of them. But this week I did, and I hope I'm not going to be sorry. One of the things that I would like to ask you, well, and let's just go ahead and go down this road. If people think they can't afford the $147 as a one-time thing, here's what I've got to say about it. Stop spending money on crap and invest in yourself. Did that sound like you, Larry?
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like me.
Okay, good. You see, I do listen. I mean, seriously,
there you go.
Just stop.
You know,
stop,
and I never tell people to put things on a credit card, but everybody's got a credit card, and they all have things on their credit card that they spend a lot more than $147 on. So people say, I can't afford $147. You got to enter a credit card anyway. So if you paid $12 a month, you basically paid for the program. It still brings down to $2.82 a week. And if you pay it off every single month, I mean, you're way ahead on the deal. So if they prefer it to be monthly, go that direction, even though I will say, if you can't afford $147 to invest in yourself, come on. Come on.
Exactly.
What have you been spending your money on that's going to give you the long-term results that a program like this one or anybody else's program could give you?
Well said. Look, I am a big believer in investing in yourself. Read, study, learn, network, do whatever it takes. And I don't mean do whatever it takes like that's a job, go do it. It has to be your passion. It has to be something you're excited about. You want to network with people. You want to learn from other people. And like you say, you guys have got all this amassed experience. Do I want to learn from you? Yeah. I don't have to go do it myself. Yes.
Well, I think people who are unfamiliar with all of us, and you're providing a link for the for the program for people to look at. When they get there, they look at the About Us page, and they see our biographies, and they can watch a few of the videos where we explain the program. I think then they'll get a clue about, oh, my goodness, what they're really going to get in these 52 lessons.
Right. Larry, where do you see American entrepreneurship going? I mean, where do you see us going? We're in hard times right now. No matter what your political, flavor of the month is, conservative, liberal, socialist, it doesn't matter who you are. Where do you see us going right now? I have to admit, I'm worried. But
I am and I'm not.
I'm hopeful.
You can be hopeful, but you have to be realistic. And to be realistic, you need to be worried. I'm not real optimistic right now. I would love to say I'd sure hope things are going to get better, but, you could, like we used to hear, you can wish in one hand and do whatever
the other.
And the point is I do think we're in trouble. Yeah, the numbers look a little better, but you can make numbers say about whatever you want to. You can spin them about whatever way you want to right now, and we're seeing a lot of that done politically. Bottom line, it is the old question that's become very, very popular in every political campaign for the last 30 years, is are you better off now than you were before? And sadly, most people are just not better off. In fact, I don't really know anybody right now who can honestly say they're better off. And I don't care whether they make $40,000 a year or they make $400,000 a year. Nobody's really going to say I'm better off than I used to be. So instead of looking to the government for the solution for that, and believe me, the government plays a part in it, but instead of counting on them, I think we have to start to count on ourselves more and more and more. Take responsibility for where you are. No one's going to come to your rescue. And let's say right now, I don't care, I do care who gets elected, but let's just say the election happens and regardless of who gets elected, says we're going to cut everything by 10% and we're going to do this, and really major change happens. Major change happens in November. By the time that really filters down and affects you on an individual level, it's going to be a good long while. So any solution that people are talking about right now, it's a long time before that solution is going to affect you. In the meantime, every single day, get up and do the right thing. Work harder. Get your lifestyle in alignment with your expenses and your income, and make sure that you're doing the best for your customers and serving them well and living a life in honesty and integrity and hard work and excellence. Invest in yourself. Make sure you're as good as you can possibly be, because that really is going to be just about your only hope right now.
I agree. And you said something at the beginning of that that made me really sad, and is that we need to start to. Why do we need, we shouldn't have been put in a position where we need to start to. This should have been life all along.
But it hasn't been.
It hasn't. So I find that very sad that we have to kind of start over again, being responsible for ourselves. And I don't think that we can't do it. I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful for entrepreneurship. I'm very hopeful for, you know, people who are success-minded, who maybe have been kind of stuck in a job, but now they're going, didn't work, not going to work. I am going to go do what I really, really, really wanted to do. And that's, I'm pinning my hopes on American entrepreneurship. I am.
Well, I will agree with what you said there, Denise. It's not whether we can or can't. It's whether we will or won't. And that's what it's always come down to. Of course we can do it. Whether we will do it or not, that's really the question that's going to come up in everybody's minds every single day. Will I do this or won't I do
mm-hmm.
this? And if you have decided that you will, then you can.
I agree. And, you know, you may stumble, you may stub your toe, but just do it.
No, you will.
Just take action.
You will stumble. You will stub your toe. Success is full of failure.
Isn't it?
And that's the reality. Success is always full of failure. You better be prepared for it going in. And just understand that failure is a part of the process. And all you can do is, like you said, invest in yourself and educate yourself to the as much as you possibly can, so you'll know what to do when it happens. So you'll have alternatives. So you'll know actions you can take. But everybody messes up. That's just how life is.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's no perfect day. There's no perfect soul. There's no perfect mate. There's no perfect anything. But if you can go to bed at the end of the night and go, I had a pretty darn good day, that's a good thing.
Yep.
If you
smiled more than you frowned and laughed more than you cried, and you know you gave it your best every single day, it was a good day.
That's exactly right.
Go to sleep, wake up, and do it again tomorrow.
That's exactly right. You know, I didn't get a chance to ask you, and I wanted to. What are your favorite books to read? I mean, who are some of your favorite authors right now that you would recommend that people just go, let me run, go get that?
Well, and I've written a blog that people can go back on my blogs, and it's called the Five Books That Influenced My Life the Most. There are some great authors out there right now that are writing. However, the ones that I count on, I still go back to the oldies but goodies. I go back and I read anything by Jim Rohn. Believe it or not, I like Wayne Dyer a lot. And people say, how could Wayne Dyer and Larry Wingate be so much alike? It's amazing. I've been around Dyer a lot, and while, again, our styles are very, very different, philosophically, while he is sort of one of the New Age guys, he also believes you better take action.
Right.
And I do believe that there's some great stuff out there that's being written today. Frankly, I don't rely on a lot of that stuff. Maybe it's because I know the people who write it, and maybe that's an issue for me. But if I were going to go out and start looking for personal development books, I'd go back to books like The Magic of Thinking Big. I'd go back to the writings of Earl Nightingale and Jim Rohn and some of the old classics that are always going to be classics. You know, the James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, and those kind of things. Those can't be beat.
No, you're right, they can't, and I have a lot of those on my bookshelf. one of the things that I wanted to well, I need to ask you, where can people find, we're running out of time. I just looked at my clock. Holy cow. We do this every single time.
Yeah, I know.
For those of you, we do. For those of you who are listening in now and who will be downloading later either on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes, I don't even do a show outline with Larry. We have so much fun that we literally just wing it, and that is pun intended. We just wing it. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you very, very quickly is, where can people find you online, and where can they find A Year of Success? And
you're putting out the link for
blog.
A Year of Success.
I have.
So they can look through your site to find A Year of Success.
Okay.
You can find me online. I'm real easy to find. If you're on Facebook, I suggest everybody go to Larry Wingate fan page. My personal page is full, but Larry Wingate fan page, you've seen it. It's interactive, mm-hmm. and oh my goodness, is it fun sometimes.
I'm always on there. Yep.
I know. Yeah. It can be a lot of fun. So Larry Wingate fan page on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter, at Larry Wingate. And, of course, my personal website is just Larry Wingate, LarryWingate.com.
Right. We're out of time. This just makes me sick every single time, but you'll be back, right?
I'll be back.
Please? Oh, good. Well, Larry, thank you so much for being with me here today. I always have a ball. You always give such great information, and thank you so, so much. Everybody, you can listen to the show live as we are now. We'll stop streaming in just a few minutes. And you can download later in Blog Talk Radio or iTunes, and thank you so much for being here. Larry, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Denise.
All right. Bye.